Please hold them up. Repeat after me. We are
the Church of Christ.
We are people of the book. Amen. I tell you, that is beautiful. I love to see that. I love to see us bring our Bibles. And, you know, people hold up their phones, their iPads. That's all right. But, you know, sometimes those batteries fail. Amen. You need to make sure you have a standby. This won't fail. Is that all right? All right. I'm going to ask that you open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 1. I kind of changed up a little bit the text because I'm ending with this. Because I read a text this morning that I never got to. So I said, well, I got to do better than that. So I'm going to start with this, but I'm ending with this. So I appreciate Brother Gibbs' understanding heart, and gospel preachers understand one another. And appreciate the song service. Brother Alexander always does a wonderful job. I just love, beautiful voice God has given him. Just appreciate it. I see we have someone here with a red, white, and blue flag on. Well, it's not a flag. It's a dress, but it's got the America. So you got the theme going. The theme is going. You know, we got the theme going. Who's going to be your commander in chief? I think that's wonderful. Ephesians 1, verse number 3. I'm reading from the New King James Translation. If you have it, say amen.
Amen.
Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. I'll stop there. I want to use as our subject this morning your theme. Who's your next commander in chief? I think that's a wonderful and powerful theme. It's ingenious. And definitely it is applicable. Who's your next commander in chief? Now that in and of itself says that you have one right now. You have someone that you have elected either by choice or by default to be your commander in chief. So the question is, who's your next commander in chief? And I know that all of us have been captivated and fixated on this unusual and unorthodox election year. Personally, I have never in my life seen anything like what I'm witnessing now. And I pray that I will never, ever, as long as I live, see anything else like this election year. And if there were ever a time, Brother Gibbs, that we need to be a praying people, that time is now. Because I truly believe that the Church of Christ is the salt of the earth and the light of the world. And if anyone can pray and get a prayer through to God to preserve us in the midst of all of this mess, it is certainly the church of Christ. We ought to be praying for this world, praying for our leaders, praying for this country, because this country is in need of the prayers of the righteous. We're living in perilous times. We're living in times where dignity is a thing of the past. Decency is whatever you want it to be. Morals are however you choose to define them. Ethics have been reduced to let your conscience be your guide. Integrity is something that you define or look up in the dictionary. Truth is relative because there are no moral absolutes. Respect for God is a vanishing quality from the human soul. Respect for the Word of God is declining even in the church of Christ. Respect for the sacred is a rare commodity. Respect for the president and the presidency is no more. Respect for self is an endangered species. Respect for others is uncommon and almost non-existing. Respect for authority is a joke. And respect for human life is tragically disappearing from the landscape. People will kill you for any reason. If you look at them wrong, they'll kill you. You cut them off in traffic, they'll kill you. If you just say the wrong thing, they'll kill you. If you play your music too loud, they will kill you. This is a troubled world. I remember when my children were growing up, and you know, we were really getting into this generation where the kids started wearing their pants down underneath their waistline and you know, way down here, which I have never understood, can never understand that, but nevertheless, as you know, they started playing the music so loud that your car would rumble. You know what I'm talking about, right? Y'all been there, right? And I remember that I pulled up into the parking lot of the grocery store one day, and this guy pulled in beside me, and it was full of cars, full of young men, and they were looking rough, and the music was blasting so that my car was trembling. And I know the devil is a spiritual being. I know he's a spirit. And I know he does not look like the images that we see of in a red suit with a pitchfork. But I said in my mind, if there could be an image of the devil, then surely I'm looking at it. Because when he got out of the car, he was an ominous looking individual. His eyes even looked strange. And my boys, they were just about 5, 6, 7 years old, something like that. And they were just sitting there staring at him in awe. And he looked back. And I said, boys, quit looking at him. Quickly, I had to tell him, stop looking at the man. Because I could see that in him, he had already kind of risen up on inside. What y'all looking at? And as a daddy, I had to, you know, tell him, "Why, quick looking," because the last thing I wanted was for him to come over and try to do something to my children. I'm gonna have to defend my children. Amen. And so I just decided, boy, y'all don't. And I had to tell him, I said, "Don't you ever eyeball those kind of guys." And so I cranked up my car and drove off. Because they were going in, so since they were going in, I'm going the other way. Amen. Amen. You see, but we're living in times like that. We're living in a time that you cannot even look at a person without your life being threatened. These are perilous times. Paul talked about them in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. Paul said, but know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. I want to ask you a question. Does that sound familiar? Does that sound like the culture that we're living in now? Does that sound like America? We are living in times like that. That sounds like the political climate and the rhetoric that we hear not only from our politicians, but we hear it from our citizens. And brothers and sisters, church, let me tell you something this morning. Whether you believe it or not, whether you know it or not, America is in a crisis. And not only is America in a crisis, but the world is in a crisis. Our world is in a mess. And I want you to understand that building more walls won't solve our problems. Building bigger and more powerful bombs won't solve our problems. Giving us more jobs won't solve our problems. I want you to understand that giving us free health care will not solve our problems. The problems that we have are systemic to spiritual in their nature. And you cannot fix America's problems with physical things when our problem is spiritual in nature. And there's but one person that can fix the problem and the crisis and the mess that we have in America. And his name is not Trump. And her name is not Hillary. The one that can fix our problem is Jesus and Jesus alone. Because there's power in the name of Jesus. The Bible says that the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess to the glory of God the Father that Jesus is Lord. There's power in the name of Jesus. And you know, I want you to help me this morning. I want you to help me this morning, you know, because in every political campaign, they always have a chant going. Amen. Now, whoever is up for election, you know, we had the Republican convention and we had the Democratic convention, and you had people on the floor when Trump was up. They were saying Trump and Trump and Trump and Trump and make America great. Trump, Trump, Trump. And then when Hillary got up, they were Hillary, Hillary, Hillary. Now we are voting for Jesus. Are y'all listening to me? We're voting for Jesus this morning, and I need you to help me right here if you don't mind. Y'all gonna help me with this one, because I'm telling you that Jesus is the answer, and there is power in the name of Jesus. And so I'm gonna ask you to help me if you will. I want you to say there's power in the name of Jesus. Every time I say this, every time I do this, you're gonna say there's power in the name of Jesus. Are y'all with me? Are y'all with me? All right, all right. Oh yes, you got it. You're with me now, all right? Let's work with it. At the name of Jesus, demons in hell tremble because there's power. At the name of Jesus, the wind and the waves listen and obey because there's power. At the name of Jesus, the host of heavens bow in humble adoration because there's power. At the name of Jesus, the lame walked because there's power. At the name of Jesus, the blind saw because there's power. At the name of Jesus, the dumb talk because there's power. At the name of Jesus, the dead got up because there's power. At the name of Jesus, the sick were healed because there's power. At the name of Jesus, fish and bread were multiplied because there's power in the name of Jesus. And in the name of Jesus, this nation can be helped and this nation can be healed because there's power in the name of Jesus. Let somebody say amen. Am I right about it? Jesus is the one that can fix this mess, and Jesus is the only one who can fix this mess. It's time for us to elect a new commander in chief. It's time for us to say that Jesus is in control. And the one that we're going to elect is not democratic. Amen. And I know that some people believe that he's Republican, but he's not a Republican. I don't know why there are certain parties that feel like they got a corner market on God. Amen. And he's not libertarian. And he's not a part of the Green Party. He's got his own party. Are y'all listening to me? He's God. And what our country needs and what our world needs and what you need on a personal level is God in your life. The problem with our country and the problem with this world is that we have forsaken God. We are removing every vestige of God from this country. We have removed God from the curriculum. We have removed God from culture. We have removed God from everything. And we have removed God from the conscience. And when you remove God from culture and from the curriculum and from the conscience, you are headed for destruction. I want you to see what a nation evolves into or degenerates into when you remove God from its culture and from its curriculum and from its conscience. Look at Romans chapter 1 and verse number 18. Romans chapter 1 verse 18 through verse 32. And let's watch this. Now I want you to see this. Romans 1, 18 through 32. See, I was too tight in the first service. I couldn't relax. Brother Gibbs, I couldn't relax. I was on too much of a time struggle. And it seemed like the folk here are a little laid back, you know. They ain't wound so tight, so that y'all can help me now. Are y'all with me? Now the Bible says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Now the KJV says hold the truth. But it literally means to suppress. Now in order to suppress the truth, you've got to know that there is truth to be suppressed. Are y'all with me? So there are certain people in this world, there is a segment in society who have decided that they want to keep truth out of the consciousness of the people. No, that's good, George. You good with me, Brother Gibbs. I'd like for you to call me George. All right. So that works for me. Now watch this. There are people in this world that don't want you to know God. They know God is real. They know that God is true. They know that the Bible is his revelation, but they don't want you to know that. And they do everything within their power to keep the truth suppressed. And the reason that they do it is because they are unrighteous and they want unrighteousness to reign instead of righteousness to reign. All right. And they want to do their ungodly deeds. Yes. And so in order for me to do my ungodly deeds, I have to do away with that which calls me to godliness. Are y'all watching? Are you listening? So that I can feel good about my ungodly ways if I don't have something that's condemning me and calling me to a higher standard. All right. Keep learning. Now watch this. He says, next, because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them.
Go to the next verse and I'm going to come back. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Now notice what he says. Watch this now. I want you to hear this, that he says, go back to the previous verse, and I want you to see this now. Verse 19, because what may be known of God is manifest in them and to them, for God has shown it to them. First of all, God put something in us called a moral oath.
All right. All right.
In every culture, there is something in man that says there is right and there is wrong. Whether he knows God or whether he knows the Bible or not, every culture says there is a standard right and wrong. Where did that come from? God put it in us. And I don't, not only did God put that moral out in us, I want you to understand that God put something on the inside of man that makes him want to worship something. Man is a worshiping being, and he will worship. He may not worship God, but he will worship. He will worship his money. He will worship power, he'll worship somebody, or he'll worship his intellect, he'll worship science, he'll worship knowledge, he'll worship something. And if he says, I don't worship anything, then you worship nothing. But that nothing that you say you don't worship is what you worship. Because it forms your moral belief system and your doctrine. Are y'all with me?
Yes, sir.
Now watch this. So God has put in man a moral ought, and God has made man a worshiping creature. So something in man says that there is something else outside of me, that there's something on the inside of me that keeps saying there's something outside of me that's greater than I am. And God said, I showed it to him when I created the world. First I put a desire in him to worship, and then I created this world, and this world says every morning and every day, every time he opens up his eyes and looks up into the heavens, and he sees the sun and the moon and the stars, and he sees order, and he sees the sun rising in the east and setting in the west. He sees the stars sparkling in the night. The Bible says the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. When man looks up, he says, there is a God. You know why? Because there's order. There is design. And the law says, law, not theory, not conjecture, not hypotheses. But the law says, where there is design, there must of necessity be a designer. Watch this now. And that which he has designed is always less than the designer. Common sense says if God could make the world, then he's greater than the world. Am I right about it? And so man looks up and he sees, look here, we're not too close to the sun that we burn into a crisp. We're not too far away from the sun that we freeze into a block of ice. We spin at the exact revolutions on its axis, the earth does, so that we keep our equilibrium and we have balance and there's gravity and we don't just fly out into the heavens. That says there is design.
Yes, sir.
So God says, look at me, I'm here. I'm here. Hey, y'all. I'm here. And the heathen says there is a God. And that's what theologians call natural revelation. But in order for me to know God, I need specific revelation. Natural revelation says there is a God. Specific revelation is this is God. That's the Bible. And so God says, I'm here. I'm real. Now you need to know me. How do you know me? Through that truth that you are suppressing.
That's right.
That you don't want to let out. Now watch this. He said, that's why you are without excuse. Now wake up, folk up. If they're sleeping, wake them up.
All right. Amen.
He said, that's why you are without excuse, because I have revealed myself in your conscience and I have revealed myself to your eyes. Are y'all with me?
Amen.
All right, let's keep going. Verse 20. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. I just explained that. Verse 21. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God. In other words, they had a perception that God existed. But instead of glorifying him as God, watch this, nor were they thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. See, when you don't recognize God, I'm trying to show you why we're in the mess that we're in right now. Why America is where it is. Why the world is where it is. It's because when you fail to recognize God, then your mind becomes futile. Your thinking process has no governing factor to it, and you don't have anything to shape your morals and your scruples. Are y'all listening to me? And so you become foolish in your hearts, and your deeds become darker and darker, because your thoughts become more and more foolish, because you won't let the wisdom of God come into your heart through his word. Are y'all working? Are y'all with me? All right, look at what it says. Watch this. Because although they, all right, professing to be wise, they became fools. Lord have mercy. Now, I'm just telling you what God said. You got a lot of folk who have degrees galore.
Amen.
But as foolish as they can be. Amen. They walking around here, I got a degree. I got a degree. I got a PhD in biology. I got a PhD in science. And I'm telling you, there is no God. The Bible says, the fool that saith in his heart, there is no God. I don't care how much education you have. If you deny God, you're still, the Bible says, a fool. Amen. Let's go. Let's keep going. And change the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. Do you see the digression? When you don't accept God, your mind, your thoughts become futile. And then your deeds become dark. But because you have that vacuum in you that God put there to worship something, you decide that I'm going to make me some gods. And look at man. Look at how he does this. He starts off making a God looking like him. Statues of men that look like men. But that's not enough. And so now we got to make a God that looks like the birds. But that's not enough. Now we're going to go to four-footed beast. And now we're going to go to creeping things, snakes and bugs. Can't you see that man is descending farther and farther into the abyss of darkness? And the reason why is because he shut the light out. And when you shut the light of God out, there's nowhere else to go but deeper into darkness. You want to know why people can kill you at the drop of a hat?
Amen.
And then get a sandwich and sit down and watch you bleed?
Amen.
Because they're dark in their minds. Because they have no knowledge of God.
Amen.
And that's the problem with the world. You want to know why a person can strap on a bomb and go into an airport and blow up and kill hundreds and think they're doing it in the name of God? It's because they have suppressed the truth. Because if they knew the truth, they would know that Mohammed is not the way and Islam is not the religion of God. Say amen if you can.
Amen.
Y'all are not doubting that, are you? John 14, verse 6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father except by me. Acts 4, 11 and 12. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved, and that is the name of Jesus. All right, let me keep going. Watch this. Next verse. Therefore God also gave them up to uncleanness and the lust of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves. Here's what the Bible is saying. It's not saying that God gave up on humanity, but what he is saying is God let them do what they wanted to do and reap the consequences of their rebellion. You know, it's like sometimes we have to tell folk, all right, you don't want to hear, you don't want to hear, you don't want to listen. Well, go on with your bad self.
Amen.
Go on with your bad self. Just show me how bad you are. Go on, do your thing, and let's see what the outcome will be. And so God says, since you don't want to listen to me, go ahead and do what you're going to do, and you will see the consequences of your behavior that is going to end in destruction. Go on with your bad self. Sometimes you have to say that to folk. They don't want to hear you. Can't tell me nothing.
Amen.
I ain't got to serve God. Who you think you are? You ain't Jesus. You don't walk on water. Go on with your bad self.
Amen.
Do what you're going to do. I know the end results. All right, are y'all with me?
Amen.
This is what happens. When you reject God, then you set up your own standards for morality. And then you follow your lust. And then you start dishonoring your bodies among themselves, as he said. Watch this. Who exchanged the truth of God for the lie. That there's another God, or that you can have the God of your choice, that you can go your way. That's the lie. Idolatry is the lie. Watch this. And worship and serve the creature rather than the creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Keep going quickly. For this reason, God gave them up to vile passions. For even their women exchanged their natural use for what is against nature. Keep going. Likewise, also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust for one another, men with men, committing what is shameful and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error, which was due. And somebody would say, oh, preacher, stay right there for a while. You need to talk about that. Well, you see what it says, right? God still says that I created male and female, and that's God's order no matter what. We don't hate the sinner. We hate the sin, but we love the sinner.
Amen.
God does not hate them, but he hates the sin. And you know, sometimes we jump on that and we jump on that and we jump on that and we trounce on that, but that's not the end of the text. Let's see what else is in this text. When you walk away from God, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do things which are not fitting. Watch this. Being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality. That's not just homosexuality. That's fornication. That's adultery. All right? Wickedness. Covetousness, that's being stingy, won't give to God like God has blessed you.
Amen.
Say amen if you can. Amen. Maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, gossipers.
Amen.
Preach on that some, preacher.
Amen. Amen.
Isn't that something to know that gossipers are in the same list?
Yeah. All right. All right.
With homosexuals and adulterers.
Amen.
And fornicators.
Amen.
Folk, I ain't doing none of that, but you're gossiping and tearing up the church. Because you can't keep your mouth. Let me go on. Backbiters. Eating folk up, having them for lunch and dinner.
Amen.
Serving the preacher and the leadership for dinner.
Amen.
Haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy. You won't keep your word. You make promises you never keep.
Amen.
In that same group. Unforgiving. I ain't gonna never forgive her. She done it to her. That's the last time.
Amen.
See, that happens because you leave God. You see what I'm saying? No, no. Oh, that's the third time they struck out. I'm through with them. Unforgiving, unmerciful. Who knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. That's America. That's the world that we're living in right now. And the problem is that they have walked away from God, and there is a need for a new commander in chief. You may think that all we need as a nation, and all you need as a citizen, is the right man or woman in the White House. But what we really need, and what you really need, is the right man in your house. And his name is Jesus. You may think that all you need to have a better life is a better job, a better house, a better car, a better husband, better wife, a better education. But what you truly need in order to have a better life is God in your life, or a better relationship with God. Jesus said it like this in John chapter 10 and verse number 10. He says, "The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that you may have what, church?" John 10 and verse 10. Put it up on the screen. "That you may have life." And I want you to understand this. That word life in the Greek is zoe. Not bios. Bios is existing. It's breathing. It's oxygen in your lungs. Blood pumping through your body. But God says, "I have come that they might have zoe." That's not just existing. It is a quality of life that is beyond just existing. If you want the abundant life, it can only be found in Christ. Abundant life is life to its fullest. The Greek for abundant means beyond, over and beyond, and above and to exceed. In other words, Jesus is saying, "I'm going to give you a life that exceeds the ordinary. I'm going to give you a life that's beyond the norm. I'm going to give you a life that's extraordinary." The abundant life is living life with meaning. It is living life with direction, and it is living life with purpose. It's knowing how to live and not just how to make a living. Are y'all still with me? It's life that makes you whole on the inside. Hear me well, church. Abundant life is life that makes you whole on the inside, no matter what you possess or don't possess on the outside. Let me tell you something. You can live in a mansion. I'd have millions of dollars in the bank and drive the best cars and dress in the best garments and eat at the finest restaurants and still not enjoy the abundant life. Or you can live in a shack by the road, eat beans and rice every day, have one pair of overalls. Amen. And drive an old jalopy. If y'all don't even know what that is. Yeah. And still have the abundant life. Because it's not about what you possess. It's about who possesses you. Are y'all listening to me? When I talk about being in possession of the abundant life, it is the ability to have inner peace in the midst of turmoil. It's calmness in the midst of life's storms. Christ came to give us this superior life, not just a life that is existing. And I want to say, I know, as I try to wrap this sermon up,
Some of you right now are just existing. Some of you to whom I'm speaking right now are in a place of just existing. You're just drifting through life without real meaning, without real direction, and without real purpose. You don't know where you're going. You're just stumbling through life aimlessly. So what are you talking about, Brother Williams? This is what I'm talking about. You say things like, or you think things like, why am I here? What is my purpose in life? I feel so empty inside. I feel like a failure. I feel like life is passing me by. I should be further along in life, but nothing is working for me. I feel like life has been unkind to me. I feel like life has been unfair to me. My marriage is not working. It's falling apart. I've never been so miserable and unhappy in my life. And we come to church and we put the smile on. We come and we put the smile on and we grin. And we go right back into our misery. Empty on the inside. Maybe you're single and you're saying, I can't get married. Why is it that I'm always a bridesmaid and never a bride? Why is it that I'm always the best man and never the groom? I just can't get ahead in life no matter how hard I try. You are just existing. Unhappy, empty. You're caught in this vicious cycle that you cannot seem to get out of. You have a job, but you say it's a dead-end job. You're unhappy with yourself, unhappy with your choices, unhappy with life, and you feel helpless and hopeless and empty because nothing seems to satisfy you no matter how hard you try. You try to figure it out. And then you start thinking, well, maybe if I buy more stuff, I can be happy. And so you buy more stuff only to be in more debt. Well, maybe if I make more money, but you make more money only to be put in a higher tax bracket and pay more taxes. You say, maybe if I travel the world, then I can find it. And so you travel the world and only to be disappointed and exhausted from the trip. Then you say, well, maybe I can drink myself into happiness. And so you drink wine. I'm trying to chill out only to have a hangover. You try the drug scene only to go deeper into darkness. You get a prescription from the doctor only to discover that there is no man-made prescription that can solve life's deepest problems. Jesus is the only answer. Are y'all listening to me? Solomon tried it. I'm bringing this to an end. Solomon tried it. The book of Ecclesiastes is a masterpiece. As a man sets out on a quest for trying to make sense out of life, Solomon said, I've seen some things that just doesn't make any sense to me. I've seen the righteous die young and the wicked live long. I don't understand that. I see people with stuff, but they're never happy. I don't understand that. I don't understand what life is all about, Brother Gibbs. He says, look, 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 the man dies and the dog dies. So how is man any better than a dog? We both go to the same place, to the grave. But you got to remember there's a key phrase in Ecclesiastes over 30 times. Solomon said, under the sun. Under the sun, under the sun, under the sun, under the sun. And here's what he's trying to tell us, that if you look at life only with a perception of things that are under the sun, you will always be disappointed. You will always be empty. In order for you to find true meaning in life, you've got to look beyond the sun to the God who created the sun. And when you do that, you can truly find meaning in life. So Solomon said, I tried it all. I had 1,000 women, 700 wives, 300 live-in girlfriends. That's too many women for any man. Amen, amen, amen. One woman is enough. I promise you, if you treat her right, she'll be all you can handle. Amen.
Amen.
One man is enough. You treat him right, he'll be all you can handle. Y'all look at me now. I know I'm on somebody's street right now. Amen. Some of y'all don't even, when y'all sit together, your body language tell me problems. You know how they do it, Brother Gibbs. Come in, fold their arms, turn the back. You know how they do it. She's sitting on one side, he's sitting on the other side. Don't touch me.
Amen.
But we're going to sit together because we got to keep up the facade.
Amen.
Let me stay on subject. I need to stay on subject.
Amen.
Are y'all with me?
Amen.
Lord have mercy. Let me help you. You see, Solomon said, I tried women. But at the end of the day, I felt empty on the inside. 1,000 women didn't make him happy. He said, well, let me try wealth. Whatever my eyes saw, I didn't keep myself back from it. That's something. You can get whatever you see. But Solomon said it was vanity. It was vain. It was empty. It's like chasing the wind. He said, I tried wine. You know, I can drink myself into happiness. Vanity. Wisdom. I can think my way into happiness. Vanity. And Solomon says, young man, and that's what Ecclesiastes is all about. It's trying to tell the young man and the young woman, don't waste your time following all of these highways. I've already experienced with them. I've already have done the experiment. And I'm telling you that it only leads to vainness, emptiness, and there's nothing to it. And the end of my conclusion is this. Fear God and keep his commandments. For this is the whole duty of man, or this is what makes man whole. You need a new commander in chief. You need God. If you want to be whole, stop chasing the wind. Stop chasing women. Stop chasing the dollar. Stop running the streets. Put down that bad liquor. Put down that devilish dope. Put all of that junk down. Because at the end of the day, you will still be empty. If you want life that's full of meaning, full of direction, and full of purpose, if you want a life that's more than just existence, if you want a life that's full of grace for living and mercy for your miseries and mercy for your mistakes, full of peace in times of peril, full of contentment in times of crisis, full of satisfaction with the blessing of knowing that God is with you in this world, that you are never alone, and then when this world is over, that you'll have a heavenly home. If you want that, it can only be found in Christ. And unlike the politicians who lie, and they all lie, amen. Trump always talking about lying Hillary. Trump is lying Trump. And all of the rest of them just lie. They say, you want to know when a politician is lying? Just watch his mouth. Whenever it moves, he's lying.
Amen.
Well, I hate to think like that, but it's almost that appears to be that way.
Lord have mercy. I'm going to tell you this joke and I'm going to finish this sermon. Old gospel preacher was on his deathbed, Brother Gibbs, about to die. And I don't want anybody to get offended. It's just a joke, just a joke, just a joke. The old gospel preacher's on his bed about to die. And in the congregation, he had a politician and he had a lawyer, a defense attorney. So he called him in to the hospital room and he said, I needed to see y'all. And he said, well, what do you want to see us for? Because we never really talked to you. He said, but I just wanted y'all to be with me in my dying hour. And they were so impressed. They said, wow, this is amazing. He said, I want one of y'all to stand on the left and the other on the right. And they said, well, what is that all about? He said, I just wanted to know what Jesus felt like when he died. Did y'all get that? He died between two thieves. Well, I'm just saying, that's all that is. Now, don't get upset if you're an attorney and if you're a politician. I'm going to believe you're a Christian attorney and that you are a Christian politician. Amen? Let me bring this to a conclusion. God makes promises and his promises will never fail. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse number 19 and 20. 2 Corinthians 1, 19 and 20. Look at what he says. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, that is by me, Sabanius, and Timothy, was not yes and no, but in him was yes. For all the promises of God in him are yes, and in him, amen, to the glory of God through us. In other words, Paul says, everything that God promised gets an amen in Christ. It will never fail because Christ is the amen to the promises of God. Hallelujah. Isn't that good news? Because Christ lives, everything God promised will come to pass. You don't have to worry about God vacillating between yes and no. Whatever God has said, it shall be. Now, I close with this, Ephesians 1, 3. God made a choice. God made a choice. God chose you. The question is, will you choose him? He chose you. He chose you. Will you choose him? When did he choose you? Look at what Paul said. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with what kind? What kind of blessing? Spiritual blessings in the heavenly places in Christ. Now, let me say this, just in case you don't know. The blessings in Christ are spiritual.
Amen.
God does not promise us health and wealth. You know, some people say, you just get in the Lord and you never get sick. You're going to be wealthy. That's a lie.
Amen.
Christians get sick and Christians die. And you have some poor saints from the physical vantage point. But from the spiritual vantage point, we are wealthy. You know why? Because we are in the heavenlies with Christ. What that says is we are reigning now with Jesus in Christ. In the church of Christ. When you get into the church of Christ, you are as close to heaven on this side of heaven as you can be without being in heaven.
Great point.
Because we are enjoying spiritual blessings now. And in essence, God is saying, I'm not going to give you all the pie in the sky. I'm going to give you a slice right now. Isn't that wonderful? And so now I get a taste a little bit of it. And I want more. But watch this. Next verse.
Verse 4, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. He chose us before God said, let there be light. Now, he didn't say individually, I want you to be saved and you to be saved and you to be saved and you to be lost. God made a decision before he ever created the world that those who would come into Christ Jesus of their own will and volition would be his chosen ones, his elect. God chose you. Will you choose him? He chose us to be holy, set apart from the world, without blame. You see, in Christ Jesus, I am without blame. Do y'all understand? I wish I had time to preach that, Brother Gale. In Christ, I'm without blame. A whole bunch of y'all trying to make it to heaven. Trying. If I ask you, are you saved? I hope so. I think so. I'm trying to be. Listen, if I'm in Christ and I'm faithful, I'm without blame. His blood keeps me clean. 1 John 1:7 through 9. I ain't got to try. I'm clean.
Amen.
When I came into Christ, he cleansed me. And as long as I'm abiding in him, I am without blame. Come on, let's go. Oh, you already got it up, but I want to go back because I don't want to get on that. That's another sermon. Okay. Go back to Ephesians 3, 1:3-4, quickly. My time is running out. I need you to move fast. That's why now y'all need y'all's Bibles. Help me, Brother Gil. All right.
According as he hath chosen us in him.
Yes.
Before the foundation.
Yes, there you go. Keep reading. Keep reading quickly.
That we should be holy without blame before him in love.
Yes, go ahead.
Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ.
God chose me and he adopted me into his family. And when you are adopted, you receive all of the full rights and benefits as a son born biologically into the family. So God says, now you are outside of the family, but you're in the family. Wow. I got a seat at my table for you.
All right. Yes, sir.
Amen. You're not a servant standing on the outside. You're a son sitting at the table of the king.
All right.
Isn't that all right? And God is your daddy, and Jesus Christ is your elder brother.
Amen.
Family of God. Kingdom of God. Keep reading, Brother Gibbs, quickly.
To himself, according to the good pleasure of his will.
I love it. According to the good pleasure of his will. Now watch this. God, wait. God did it because he wanted to do it.
That's exactly right.
So it gave him pleasure to do it.
Yes, right.
And God didn't check with anyone. He didn't check with nobody. He didn't say, what y'all think about this?
All right.
Y'all think we should bring these folk together? God said, it ain't none of your business. It's my business. It's what I want to do.
I know you're right.
And ain't nobody can undo it.
Yes, sir.
I know you're
Keep
right.
reading. That's what's so beautiful. That's why I love the church. See, the church, I love to see y'all have a mixture of races here.
Amen.
That's the way it ought to be.
Amen.
Amen.
The Church of Christ is the United Kingdom of God.
All right. Amen. Amen.
Red, yellow, black, well, white, brown, all of us. God didn't go out and say, well, do you want to receive him? Because he looks a little different from you.
Yes,
no, it ain't your business. Just like mom and daddy didn't come out and ask y'all, you want another brother? Huh? Mom and daddy say, it's my business, our business, don't worry about it. And then when you had a new brother, a new sister, they just come out and say, this your brother, this your sister. They come out, are you going to receive them? Am I right about it?
Right.
Keep going, brother.
To the praise of the glory of his grace.
I love it. God brought us into Christ. Look at this. To the praise of the glory of his grace. You see, because of his glorious grace, we ought to be praising God.
Amen.
Folk who don't praise don't understand grace. by which he made us accepted in the beloved. It's only because of the grace of God that we are accepted in Jesus. Amen. That's enough. If you're here this morning, this afternoon now, it's so much more in there. Christ chose you. Will you choose him? How do you do that? How do you do it? John 8, 21 and 24, Jesus said, except you believe that I'm he, you would die in your sins. And if you die in your sins, why am you cannot come? You got to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You must believe that. That he died for your sins, that he was buried, and that he rose again. If you don't believe that, you cannot and will not be saved ever. Once you believe that, you got to say, you know, Lord, I believe that. I'm willing to change my life. The Bible calls that repentance. Luke 13, 3 and 5. Acts 17, 30 and 31. There was a time that God winked at ignorance, but now he commands all men everywhere to repent. You've got to decide that I'm going. Repentance is a change of mind that leads to a change of life. I decide that I'm no longer going to live in sin, and I decide that I'm going to give my life to Jesus. You must be willing to confess with your mouth. Romans 10, 9 and 10. Acts 8, 36 through 38. The eunuch said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Make that confession. Then give your body to be buried in the watery grave of baptism this morning. Why? For the remission, Acts 2, 38. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. For, put it up on the screen, please. Acts 2, 38. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. For introduces the reason that you're repentant and being baptized. For the remission, the removal, the forgiveness of sins. I know you hear people all over the city on the television, the radio, telling you. All you got to do is just bow your heads where you are.
Amen.
Say the sinner's prayer and ask the Lord Jesus to come into your heart. All you got to do is raise your hand and ask the Lord to forgive you for Christ's sake. Can't find that in the Bible. On the day of Pentecost, when they asked the question, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said, unto them, repent. Repent. He didn't say, bow your head and say a sinner's prayer. Repent. Repent. And let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission, the removal, the forgiveness of sin. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. I don't see anything in the water. God didn't tell you to see anything in it. He said, get in it. That's our problem. We're always trying to run God's business.
Amen.
If he's going to be the commander in chief, then you follow his orders. There are certain things that you have to do to become an American citizen. There are certain things you have to do to enlist in the army. You don't just go in, I'm joining, I'm here. Is that right, Brother Gibbs? No, you got to go through the process. And so it is with Christ. You want to be saved? Now, when you do that, the Lord will add you to his church. Acts 2:47, put it up. Acts 2:47, praising God. And having favor with all the people. And the Lord added, you don't have to join the church. If you join one, you join the wrong one.
Yes, amen.
But if you just obey God, he will add you not to a church, but to the church daily, those who are being saved. You want to be saved? You want to have a new commander in chief? That's how you do it. Where you come.
To Jesus for the cleansing power, or you washed in the blood of the Lamb, or you fully trusting in this gracious hour, or you washed in the blood of the Lamb, or you washed in the blood. In the soul, cleansing blood of the Lamb,
and all your garments spotless are they white
as snow.
All you are in the blood of the Lamb. Is there anyone who wants to come?